For our scripture reading this evening, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's page 1214 in the Pew Bibles. Once again, 1 Peter chapter 5. Everybody got it? Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but give grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, as so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious Lord, thank you so much for this evening, for this time we could gather together to look at your word, to understand it. I pray for all those who couldn't be with us this evening who are sick, and I just pray that you'd grant them health. You'd help our church through these sicknesses that are going on, and I just ask that you would continue to bless. And I pray that as they're watching by internet, that they too could partake in this service. Thank you so much, Lord. Please work in each heart that we might grow in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we are in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, working our way through. Now, have you ever watched a documentary on lions or something about them? If you have, you know these cats are incredible. They're not called the king of the jungle for nothing. They're about 10 feet long, including the tail, weighing in about 500 pounds. And with tremendous strength and agility, they're unmatched as a predator. You know, if you watch your little house kitty or your pet, little tiny thing, what they can do with a mouse. And I think our cat's about 9 pounds. So that means this lion is 50 pounds, 50 times that. Boy. They move among the tall grass virtually undetected. They follow their prey. They watch its very move. They watch for its weakness. They wait patiently for the right moment. Then rushing in an incredible 30 miles an hour, they crush their victim with a crashing pounce, and it's over. Lunch to be had with the fierceness of its nature as king of the jungle. We can't imagine the horror of being caught alone and unarmed in the jungle with such a beast. But that's exactly what's portrayed for us of who we're up against when we're dealing with Satan. We just read it in 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's you. That's me. Peter says, live in a state of self-control. Be awake and alert, because your enemy, the enemy of all Christians, is constantly walking about like a roaring lion, constantly searching so that he could eat you alive. Like a lion who waits patiently for a weak one to stray from the herd, so Satan waits patiently for the unsuspecting Christian to let down his guard, to take his armor off. And Peter says he's waiting to devour any one individual. And what the apostle is doing here is warning us of the very real danger that exists and is ever present for the Christian. And that's what we're looking at tonight in these verses. I'm going to take one more night to work through verse 12 and 13. We actually get to the armor at verse 14. But these are very important verses to help us understand the motivation for putting on your armor. And what I want you to think about, if we were at war, now, I've never been in the military. I have hunted with a gun some, and I've been through some training courses as far as, you know, hunter safety and that type of thing. But how would I do going up to a foreign opponent that's invading our country? I wouldn't know the first thing about it. We would have to start having military drills. We would have to start practicing. We'd have to do that. And what this passage is all about in verse 10 through 20 is telling the Christian, put your armor on, learn how to use it so that you're effective in the day when you need it. And we have had such a blessing in our country for so many years, I'm afraid that Christians are pretty used to having it pretty good. And yet, every last one of us can see on the horizon bad times coming when we are going to have this armor on, in place, and know how to use it. And I think we really need to take seriously the apostle's warning here and grasp what he's getting at and what he's saying. Put your armor on. Have it ready and be ready to use it. So tonight I want to look at two things. I want us to be aware of the predicament and the protection of the Christian so you can join the war with confidence. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 10 through 20, and then tonight we're just going to be looking at verse 12 and 13. So let's read the whole section. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is on my mind, so I'm going to say it before I get into the sermon. This morning we were talking about in Sunday school, and it reminded me, and I think I might have said this a few times to you, I'm now 59 years old, and I don't think I have ever been witnessed to by a Christian in my entire life. Now, I mean, I know people think, well, you're a pastor. Okay, I know, I understand that. But, I mean, I'm out in the world at Myers and different places just like you do. I go out and working at the shop or whatever. Well, the guys at the shop know me. But nobody... I'm beginning to think there's not a whole lot of evangelism going on in the church today. If I can go my entire life and nobody's ever talked to me about it, wow. Just something to think about. We got to put our armor on and we got to start thinking about these things more seriously. Okay, verse 12 and 13. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Be aware of the predicament and the protection of the Christian so you can join the war with confidence. First of all, be aware of the predicament. Be aware of the terms of war. Sometimes in war, you might be fortunate enough to be back in the support areas. Some are fortunate enough to never actually see combat. I understand that, but not in this war. This war is different. This war, everybody sees combat. Paul begins in this verse by describing the nature of our struggle. He says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, it's interesting to note his choice of words because a change has occurred here. In this passage, in verse 10 and 11, he's been using military terminology of a soldier about to enter into the fiercest of battles. But this word is different. He's changed his metaphors. Paul says this is a struggle, which is pale in the Greek. It's a word for wrestling. So this is a wrestling match. It is a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand on his neck. Paul says that's how you're fighting with the rulers, the powers, the world forces of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a hand-to-hand combat, face-to-face, and you're facing these horrible entities in a hand-to-hand struggle. That's how he's describing this. It's a word for wrestling. Now, understand that the context in which Paul's writing in the Roman period, many times you had this contest, it would end in death. This was a fight to the death, or at least maybe you'd have your eyes gouged out. Either way, you had to win. You're fighting for your life. I think it's a good metaphor. It's a good way for Paul to describe what we're up against. It's a struggle you can't afford to lose. The battle's intensive. It's one-on-one. There's no hiding in the background. Not only do you have to be aware of the terms of the war, you need to be aware of the greatness of our foe. Paul says this is struggle. This hand-to-hand combat, this wrestling match, is not against flesh and blood. That'd be bad enough. But primarily, it's against supernatural forces. The word for against often means a face-to-face situation. For example, in John 1:1, prostantheon, it has the idea of being face to face with God. And that's the word he's using all the time here. There, John was signifying that Jesus was there in the beginning with God and was face to face with God, and there was true intimacy with God. And here he's talking about when he says we're against the rulers, pros, against the powers, he uses the same term. It's a kind of a personal thing. You're right there. Right against them. And he uses that every time. It's a battle with the rulers, the powers. It's hand-to-hand against the world forces. It's hand-to-hand against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a very intimate contact battle. You're against the rulers, the magistrates, the principalities, the office in charge, the powers, the beings that are there. These are all superior over man. The demons, against the world forces of this darkness. This phrase here is used elsewhere in ancient Greek to refer to the supreme evil one. So probably it's a direct reference to Satan himself. spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, much like Saul, who was, he was here, and even David was kind of fleeing from him and stuff. David was the actual anointed king. He was still here and in charge, though, Saul was, until his death. Jesus Christ is king. He's anointed as king. He hasn't yet asserted his rule on this earth, and in the meantime, the present king, Satan and his minions, are still trying to run things. He's still here, and he's reigning until the day the true king finally comes and asserts his authority. And we long for that day, don't we? We're looking forward to Jesus coming. So what does all this mean? Now, Paul doesn't really describe these different ranks of evil powers, and so I'm not going to try to explain something that isn't really there. He's not explaining what they are and all their divisions and all this stuff, but there is one truth that we can really get out of this. These forces are organized. This verse teaches us that many thousands of demons that followed Satan and rebelled against him, they're organized. Everybody knows any body or force, if it's to be effective, has to be organized. The military has its ranks, and everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Instead of trying desperately to read all kinds of meaning into these verses, into the various ranks of demons and everything like some guys do, we simply need to realize they're an organized force. They're more powerful than we are, and they're not to be messed with. And by all means, we need to take every available resource that God has provided if we're to stand firm against them. That's our predicament. That's the state we find ourselves in. God's own arch enemy Satan, the roaring lion, and his highly organized crew of demons are out to personally defeat each and every one of us, simply because we've trusted Christ the Savior and we love Jesus. We're his children. He wants you to fail. He wants you discouraged. He wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants you complacent. He wants you to be lethargic. So when we actually fall into those traps and become that way, he's got us right where he wants us. Doesn't want you to pray. Doesn't want you to put on the armor. He doesn't want you to be effective in wearing the armor. He does not want God working through you, because that would be catastrophe for him, because you're going to prevail when that happens. That's our predicament. But Paul doesn't stop there. Right on the heels is verse 13, and he's telling us, therefore, take up the full armor of God. So we need to also be aware of our protection. If we were left in such a state, it'd be hopeless. But because of our predicament, God has provided protection. But we need to act. Paul says we need to take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. And that's our main goal, to stand firm in the doctrines of the faith, to stand firm in the Lord and not be swayed by evil, to hold our ground. In verse 11, he told us to put on the whole armor. The words there were the words used for putting on a suit of clothes, the panoply of God. Put on the full suit, the full armor. Here he says, take up the full armor. The language is very incisive. Paul doesn't say, guys, it might behoove you to, when you get around to it, to take up the armor and put it on. You know, when you have time. Boy, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, do so at once, without any hesitancy, without any wasting of time, like the commander about ready to lead his troops out to battle. Don your armor. Put it on. Be ready. Let's use it. So I think there's an urgency here. We need to be aware of the need to act now, and also we need to be aware of the need to be victorious. Why must you don the full armor of God? Because you're not going to win any other way. You must have the armor on, and you must be able to use it. Every day is evil. Do you see that? Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Well, every day is evil, that's true. But I first preached this 20 years ago. It was true then that we needed to put our armor on. It was true then that we need to use our armor. How much more is it true today when we see our society and all the things going on that's going on around us? Even from a human perspective, I can say that days are a whole lot more evil than they were 20 years ago. And I think the evil is coming on the horizon, and I think it is something to be ready for. And we can't just someday pick up our guns and say, okay, I'm ready. Pick up our armor and just say, okay, I'm here. These are our principles that we need to practice all the time. The shield of faith. Do we practice that? Do we have our helmet of salvation on? Do we have all these things in place, and are we able to use them and rely on them, or do we crumble at every little thing that comes along? These need to be practiced. These are the things we need to be firm in and steadfast. I admire, you know, I listen to many of you, and I think you're really trying hard. You got your armor on, and you're working at it. That's great. But maybe there's some that still need to put it on, or maybe there's some that really need, let's say, a kick in the behind ski to come on now, let's get going here. Can I say, is that okay to say that? I mean, I wasn't really a bad word, was it? So it's much more true today even than it was yesterday, I think. I mean, it's always true, but, well, we talk about it all the time. We talk about these things, and, oh, we see what's going on in the world around us. It is getting bad, and it's likely to get worse. These commands of Paul are always urgent, but in the day we face real persecution, we're going to be far better off if we're a people who are used to practicing the warfare and used to using the armor effectively by regular practice of it. The time to be wearing your armor and getting used to it is now. We got to get ready for war, because the war is coming. We're already in it. I'm just saying it's going to get intensified. Every day is an evil day. It brings its own set of troubles. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But yeah, if we're going to stand firm for the Lord and have a good attitude and stand firm in the faith, we need to take each day head on. Today is the day you need to win. You need to be victorious today. Today, each moment we live is the only time you can make a difference. Yesterday, can you go back and change what you did yesterday? No. Well, you might be able to do some inspection and learn from it, but you sure can't change it. Tomorrow? Can you change tomorrow? Well, when you get there, you can, but then it'll be today. You can't affect all these things. You got to worry about right now, this moment, this argument, this bad attitude, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever is tripping you up, you got to deal with it now. That's the battle we're in. You can resist the evil of this day, and that's what the apostle is teaching us. Now, the last phrase of the verse, having done everything, to stand firm. We can't cave in. We can't give up. We got to stand firm. There's no room for any compromise. Do you understand that today, right now, at this moment in time, every day, properly clad in the armor of God and using it effectively, you can make a difference? Yeah, you're just one person. I understand that. But you've got a job to do from the Lord, and you can do it with great effectiveness if you're doing it in His might. And that's what we got to rest in. That's what we got to stand firm in. We can stand against the onslaught of these wicked forces and this great organization of Satan that's coming at us. We can stand firm in that, against that. Resist the evil of this day, having done everything to stand firm. When the wrestling match is over, you got to be the one that's standing. This is a wrestling match. You can't lose. And when you're properly donned with the armor, you won't lose, because God will make sure you're victorious. Our responsibility is to resist, to stand firm. Standing firm does not necessarily mean sitting still and waiting for the enemy's attack. The standing of which Paul speaks is not that of a brick wall that's waiting passively, as it were, for the assault of the battering ram. The soldiers referred to here are drawn up in battle array and rushing into the fight. Our focus is on one thing. We must accomplish the will of God. You ever thought about that little, I don't think he was a very impressive man, but that little monk from Germany? Martin Luther. Have you ever thought of him? When he stood before the Diet of Worms, Germany, when he was condemned to be burned at the stake. Now, circumstances happened that he wasn't, but still, as far as he knew, that was what was coming. What was his response? He was condemned for declaring that men are saved by faith alone. You might have to declare that to somebody someday. Men are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. He declared, "My conscience is captive to the word of God." Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. Boy, that was a guy that was praying, and he had his armor on, and he stood that day and stood his ground, was willing to go to the stake over it. Our country needs Christians to awaken to the spiritual war that's going on around us. Our church needs individual men and women who are determined to fight God's war and to stand victorious when the battle clears. Your family needs you to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. In these four verses, Paul has given us the motivation to be soldiers of Christ. It's all here. We're in a horrible predicament, but God has not abandoned us. He's given us everything we need be victorious. And we got to believe that and rest in that. Got one last thing for you. You probably all heard this before, but I want to remind you of it. D.L. Moody heard a preacher say, "The world has yet to see what a Christian can do with a fully yielded." I'm sorry. "The world has yet to see what God can do with a fully yielded Christian." And Moody's response was, "I will be that man. I will be that man." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Oh, our gracious Lord, thank you so much for these encouragements and this warning from the Apostle Paul. I just ask, Lord, this motivation that we would be eager and thrilled to put on all the preparations that you've given us and be ready for the battle that comes. I pray that we would be a people that would stand firm in the evil day. And we can practice that right now, whether we're at work or out shopping or whatever it is we're doing. I just pray, Lord, that we would be donned in the armor and have our minds stayed upon you and ready to stand firm. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these warnings, for these encouragements through your apostle. It's in his name we pray. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.